Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Elisa Tahir, and we will be talking about her new book, The Cryon Effect, Healing Our Core Wounds Through Astrology, Empathy, and Self-Forgiveness. Using astrology as a diagnostic tool, Elisa Tahir reveals how to use the astrological placement of the minor planet Chiron in your birth chart to identify the core wounds and unconscious patterns that block your capacity to have self-empathy and to forgive. Coining the phrase Chiron effect to describe the magnetic pull that individuals have around specific areas of vulnerability, she explains how, like a raw nerve, the placement of Chiron describes what parts of our lives we might edit or hide for fear of being rejected, as well as the areas of sensitivity where we are triggered. Elisa Tahir is a licensed clinical social worker. She is certified in EMDR Level 1, in Reiki Level 2, and as a thought coach through the Institute for Transformational Thinking. She is the host of the weekly podcast, All Things Therapy, on LA Talk Radio since 2016 and lives in Los Angeles and New Orleans. For more information, you can visit her website, which is nolatherapy.com. That's NOLATherapy.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Elisa to the show. Good day, Elisa.
Robert, thank you so much for having me on Bringing Inspiration to Earth. It's a pleasure and honor to be with you and your audience.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to speak with you, too. The topic we have is something that I know that I have not talked about, I don't think, in my 11 years of doing the podcasting. So, it's great to have a unique topic for listeners. So, I guess, the first part is, why did you write this book? What was the inspiration for this book?
Thank you, Robert. My inspiration was based out of my own need, meaning that I've been a psychotherapist for 20 years. I've also been a client in psychotherapy for almost that same amount of time. And I found for my clients and myself that at some point therapy seemed to feel like it was more of the rehashing, if you will, of traumatic memories and events. And I started to feel disempowered myself and wondering what is beyond the telling of the old story of our lives. Like, how many times do I need to revisit something that was a disappointment, that was painful, in order to heal? And Robert, it came to me to, begin telling the new story of the life that I want to live. And how do I even manifest that? How do I actually, for longer periods of time, experience more of what I want and less of what I don't? And intending that for the clients that I work with also. So the book is an answer to those kinds of questions.
Yeah, so now how long you said you've been a therapist for 20 years plus. How long did it take for you to write this book?
Robert, I've always wanted to write a book, like a lot of people I hear as well, wanting to write a book and yet not knowing from all the topics, what is a topic that I personally could stay committed to? And just in my own personal evolution, I started writing this book 4 years ago, and I was meditating, again, asking the question, what is beyond kind of therapy as I know it to be? And I just got this kind of inclination, intuition, the word Chiron, C-H-I-R-O-N, came to mind. And I started Googling, having some base knowledge of Carl Jung, who spoke about Chiron as being the wounded healer archetype, and from there found out that Chiron is also in astronomy. It's a comet and a planet. It has both designations, and Chiron was a centaur in Greek mythology, as well as a placement in our astrological chart that identifies our area of vulnerability. And when I found that out, Robert, I started to get really curious to learn more. And that's where the book, it took about 3 years to research and write and really fully articulate what this means for readers to learn what areas of vulnerability they have and how they can heal it so they change patterns in their own life.
Yeah. When I read that part in the book, I found it interesting, the dynamic of pattern, and then also the idea of Chiron, you know, being, you know, planet, asteroid, and, you know, and then there was even that idea of it being comet. To me, it's like the inability to distinguish what it is, you know, exactly,
right,
or to label it, it, you know, is kind of like, you know, in the psyche, sometimes we have an inability to, you know, to label what it is, you know, who we are. And then also the idea of the patterning, you know, and the fact that this was, you know, it's the Chiron, what do you call it, the orbit, you know, is one that is, you know, is very dynamic and kind of out of the norm. And so it seems like, you know, that too is like patterns that are out of the norm that kind of impact us.
So well said and accurate.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, it was just, I just thought, you know, I mean, it's one of those as above, so below kind of things with it. So
exactly.
You mentioned a little bit about Chiron. And I've known a few astrologers who don't necessarily put a lot of attention to it because it's, you know, kind of out of the, you know, the regular solar system kinds of item, you know, the item objects. So can you tell us, you know, a little bit about how Chiron and its placement in one's chart, natal chart, I believe, is the what does that represent when we look at Chiron in our natal chart?
Sure, and I like even how you set up that question because I myself, Robert, I'm a psychotherapist, and I approach Chiron as from a therapeutic perspective and not necessarily like an astrologer would, having more knowledge and information about astrology as a language, as like a coded language to interpret areas and aspects of our lives. And so what I offer and see value in knowing about your Chiron is that I have an interactive website that when you get my book, it gives you access to the website and you type in as much as you know, your date of birth, your time of birth and place of birth, and it generates Chiron in an astrological sign, meaning Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and so on through Pisces, and then it generates for you Chiron in an astrological house, and there are 12 houses, 1 through 12. And these houses, what's significant is that reveals the area of our lives that our core wounding presents itself. Like for me, it's in the area of my own self-concept, my own belief system about myself. For someone else, it might be in the area of their personal finances or their moral values. For another person, present more in their intimate relationships. And for another person, it might, for instance, present in their work life. So you get this full picture by learning what your Chiron sign is, what the specific core wound is. There's 12. And then the area of your life that it manifests in, so that you can focus your efforts on that part of your life to heal and to like prop up and support. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. Yes, it does. Yeah. And, you know, and recognizing the wounding in the different houses and the different aspects of one's life, you know, you can see why certain people are experiencing, you know, certain challenges, or why some people have a pattern of challenges in
exactly.
a particular area of, you know, of life. So now, well, let's talk a little bit about the wounding. How is it that we're wounded? You know, what? I mean, you know, if we're coming in to experience, you know, this incarnation, why have that wounding aspect as part of the picture?
Definitely, I appreciate your question because at first it seems, you know, like like you might want to shy away from that, and I actually speak about that in my book when I lay out. It begins with creating the container for change, where it's an invitation for the reader to set up a place in their home where they're going to read, get a journal, light a candle. And the invitation I talk about, it's almost like, you know, you put your hand on a hot stove once and you recoil from it. And it's almost like our areas of vulnerability and wounding are like that. We don't want to touch them. We don't want to go there. But by not going there, by hiding those parts of ourselves, by feeling embarrassed by them, by feeling shame of them, we really cut off a whole part of ourselves. And it's a part of us that needs the most love. These parts of ourselves that we don't feel good about, that we feel embarrassed about or shamed over, really need our loving attention, and they need our understanding instead of our judgment. So that's why the book is centered around empathy and self-forgiveness. It's to look at these aspects of your life, parts of your history, your childhood, the way you believe about yourself, and actually feel loving kindness for yourself instead of blame and shame and judgment. And by doing that, we really start to feel happier and more fulfilled because we're not shoving those places down or away.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I've heard people talk about our shadow selves. And is that similar to, or how does that differ from, you know, core wounds?
It's very similar to. It's the parts of ourselves that we repress, that we deny. Those are our areas of vulnerabilities. Those are wounded parts of ourselves, wounded places, even memories. If you think about growing up, you know, most people have experienced some challenging things, be it loss or death, trauma, abuse, a disappointment, neglect. You know, there's so many things that we encounter as we grow up and live enough life to have these things happen to us that, you know, often we don't even know why these things happen. Some of them might not even make sense. Like I open the book talking about a drunk driver, a school shooting, you know, things that seem to happen out of the blue. And Chiron himself in Greek mythology was wounded by a poisonous arrow. And that's the metaphor for the things that happen in our lives today, Robert, that we don't understand, can't make sense of. And instead of just locking it away somewhere and never talking about it again, to look at those experiences through the lens of curiosity will help us gain understanding, and we can actually become really powerful there. How many people do we read about, you know, their deepest woundings and hurts become the platform from which they become a public speaker or an author or a podcaster or help others in the same way that they were hurt? So my book really helps you tap into that, those parts of yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I can't count how many people I've had on the show as guests who have taken those painful experiences and it has then become, you know, a calling for them to be able to help others. Yeah, yeah. So
exactly,
and I guess that would kind of fall in line with the wounded healer aspect, you know, the wound and then the healing aspect, you know, together. Yeah, so it seems
definitely.
Like that would
and
be...
Robert,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the message, you know, that I'm learning as I'm on this journey with you and with our listeners of growing and changing and healing is that, you know, our wounds can really become deactivated where they're not the same pain points that they were, the memories that, you know, really affect us, that trouble us still, that it's like the volume on a stereo over time with focused love and effort and healing, it's like the volume gets turned down on that pain. And you can really source from those stories empowerment, like you were just saying about guests that come on this show.
Yeah, it's very, very much. And it's, you know, to me, whenever I hear someone who, or talk to someone who has, you know, written about, you know, those painful moments and really shining a light on it and recognize, you know, not hiding it, you know, and kind of putting it out there, to me, that's just such a exhibition of strength, you know. I mean, it just...
It is.
You know,
right.
I think it really kind of takes it, like you said, tones down the reaction. I mean, to have to talk about it. You know, you write about these kinds of things. First, you experience it. You know, then you have to, you know, re-experience it when you're writing it. And then every time you're promoting it, you know, you're kind of going through it. So, you know, I would think that it would take a good amount of healing to get to that particular point to be able to do it in a... In an objective, non-triggering kind of way.
Well, and to piggyback off what you're saying, Robert, that it's like, you know, being witnessed and witnessing. And I think the more that in a safe and supportive space, like your show right now, for instance, and the guests that you have and listeners that call in, you create a space where it's emotionally, you know, safe to put out here what our vulnerabilities and wounds and challenges have been. And by speaking those and being witnessed with loving kindness, it really heals that part of ourself, because harm is usually done in the context of a relationship. So healing as well happens in the context of relationship. And it's really a beautiful, like, mirroring and patterning of healing, you know, you doing what you do in your show, and the guests that you have, and the people that call in that want to be a part of this.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I think it's just a wonderful to be able to get to the point of being able to talk about, you know, those very personal issues. And you also,
yeah,
I believe, have put yourself out there, your story as well, in Chiron Effect, correct?
I did. I wove in the book different aspects of issues that I've went through, like recovering from addiction and experiencing childhood abuse, and in a way just to share, to be relatable, that I want readers to know that I've had to dig deep and do my own recovery from certain things. You know, from growing up in an abusive home, I turned to drugs to alleviate that pain, and realizing that that's not the way to heal. It caused more problems for me, and how I turned to fitness and athletics to heal myself, to have something I cared about more, to pull me out of the place I put myself in because of having low self-esteem and not knowing any better. And again, it's about encouraging ourselves through. I beat myself up for years, like, why aren't you doing better? But the truth is that I didn't know that I could. I didn't believe that I could until I was exposed to some new material and books and authors that talked about recovery and starting to change my thoughts about myself. And I give readers affirmations and practical takeaway steps that you can begin using today to change and shift your own mindset and belief system to live better.
Yeah. Well, you know, the idea of helping with an area of self-empathy and forgiveness, I think, you know, for many people, you know, it can be difficult. Even if they were on the abuser end of things, you know, prior to becoming aware of what it was they were doing, because, you know, it could have easily been a pattern, you know, that they just picked up on, and but then maybe an awareness came about and that shifted, you know, the idea of being able to forgive that uneducated kinds of acts can be a challenge for some.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, you're right, Robert, and tell me if this, you know, if you relate to this. I discovered that it's like we have these layer upon layer of unforgiveness towards ourselves, the way we tend to think we're going to do better in life by berating ourselves, by saying things like, you know, you should have known better, you're stupid in the extreme. And that's actually not how we grow and become better. It's through like, hey, you know, what can I do today in an encouraging way? And to compare yourself to yourself instead of comparing ourselves to all kinds of others that we perceive as doing better than us, instead to be a measure, our own barometer. And maybe we want to work on the area of kindness, of, you know, being philanthropic, of, you know, and that can be simple. It can be giving a bottle of water to the homeless person on the corner. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be $1 million to donate to be a value, but there's so many ways to source this.
Yeah, very much. And, you know, and I know I've had many a thought of like, well, this didn't turn out like I expected. Or, you know, it's like, oh, boy, you know, let me kind of go back and, you know, reevaluate this one, you know. And those are things that kind of get your attention. And isn't, let me put this way, how would one identify their core wounds? I mean, is there a way to without having to, I mean, I do want people to buy your book and read the book, because you go through a lot of, you know, explanation in the different houses and that kind of thing. But for someone who's just listening right now, who's maybe thinking, do I have core wounds? What would they look like? What area would that come in? So how do core wounds manifest in people's lives?
Sure. I want to go back to for a moment for what you just said about let me reevaluate that, because I think you hit on something really important. And it is the difference, as you said, if we go through a disappointment or we show up in a way that, I'm not so pleased with what you said is key, that we can choose to lean in with curiosity and say, well, let me evaluate that, versus let me criticize and judge myself, which doesn't open any window for growth. So I just want to highlight, I really like how you brought that forth about the softer perspective of reevaluation versus criticism.
I've lived that.
I've
spent 60 plus years working on that.
Well, I hear you. I hear you.
Go ahead.
And then to get to your question about, like somebody listening without having the book, you know, what does this core wound business have to do with them at all? Well, I'd like for people to know that the 12 core wounds, like we said, are areas of vulnerability, areas of challenge. And so if you're listening, I am pretty sure that you have experienced, as I have, say a wounding, an area of vulnerability in your own self-esteem, you know, doubting your own value and worth, as well as experiencing neglect, experiencing an abandonment, feeling like you're cut off from your creativity, feeling like you're having a hard time managing your physical health and its associated routines. You might at times feel like you're codependent on someone in an intimate relationship and a business relationship. So there could be like a wounding in your sense of personal independence at a time in your life. You might sometimes wonder like what's true and what's false and struggle with truth versus illusion. You might also find a challenge in a sense of responsibility, achievement, and success, defining those things. What is success for me right now? What responsibility do I want to take? What responsibility would I like to delegate? You might at times feel a disconnection in your sense of community. And you might sometimes have trouble with your own self-care and or connection to something larger than you, the immaterial world, spirit, nature, however you define it. So all of these areas that I just kind of listed are areas of wounding and vulnerability that my book gives you specific tools to be able to address and handle these things that we experience as we live life. So I want it to be kind of like a manual for living, that when you go through one of these experiences, you can turn to the section and learn some ways to cope with them.
Yeah.
What do you
Yeah,
think
well,
about
thanks.
that?
That's perfect. You know, that's great because I think I just wanted the listeners to get an idea of the questions to ask, like you just posed, you know, as to in their life, to try and identify, first of all, that there is, you know, the wounds are there. You know, the awareness starts with the awareness, and then you move on.
Yeah.
Move on from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh. Yeah. Now we're going to be in a couple minutes. We're going to be taking a quick break. So I do want to invite listeners, as Lisa mentioned earlier, about callers. If you'd like to call in and ask any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to pose them there. Now, earlier we were talking about, you know, kind of turning the dial down on, you know, the wounds. Do we ever completely heal the wounds? I mean, is this one of those cases where it just no longer allow it to affect us negatively, but it's still there, or do we completely heal?
Well, that's a good question, Robert. It's one that I have asked myself as a healing professional and practitioner, as a therapist, and as a human being, because there have been times in my 20-year career that I have felt like, oh yeah, like that's done, you know, I'm good, and then only to be triggered, and a trigger is just kind of like, it's like a landmine that you step on that you don't know is there, and it's like all of a sudden you start feeling as if it's happening again in the extreme, or you might just have like a brush up against a painful emotion, a loss. It could be a death. It could be something that happened to you in your own childhood or adolescence, for example, a loss. And so when those triggers would kind of erupt in my life and I'm taken back to that little girl that I was, or the adolescent left standing there alone and scared and feeling lost, you know, I started to be like, wow, do we ever even heal? You know, and just asking, like, how can I be a therapist and be doubtful of if we truly heal? So I really have gone deep with that question you're asking. And with where I am now from researching and writing this book, I do believe that we can heal fully. And it's through telling the new story of who we are becoming and who we want to be as a result of even what's happened to us, the meaning that we can make from it. Like Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning talks about this better than I can, you know, really making meaning of our experience and finding purpose from it. And I found that to be really important in my own healing, to write this book, to commit to the time, to believe that I had something of value, to be transparent and authentic, and now present it to you, you know, as a paradigm to consider, has caused me to feel like I'm fully able to heal even the most painful experiences of my life, because they're going to help someone else. And for me, that's living my meaning and purpose. And so I encourage readers to kind of lean into their own, this question for themselves, and ask, you know, what does it take for you to fully heal the areas of your life that have caused you pain and hardship and challenges? You know, what does that mean for you to heal fully? And it often, I think, means for people to give back. Robert, what do you think?
Yeah, I do. I agree with that. That you know, there's a lot that can be. You know, it's kind of like I know that we go through these experiences to be able to kind of maybe set us on a course of, you know, of what we're going to be doing during this, you know, incarnation, you know, and that a lot of the challenges, I mean, there are so many intuitive and empathic people that I know have had challenging, very challenging childhoods. And I'm not sure if it's because, you know, the essence of who they are in a world that doesn't recognize that, or if it's just the fact of them maybe experiencing it to be able to recognize it in others and then help guide through, you know, from the darkness to the light. You know, so I'm not sure if it's a chicken or egg kind of thing with that.
No, I hear you. And, you know, I am really inspired. My Instagram, I follow people like Tony Robbins and Lewis Howes, and they talk very openly, Lisa Nichols, about growing up in abusive homes, for instance, and just how, you know, they were in such darkness and pain, and they somehow, a part of them knew, you know, there's something beyond this, like there's something for me. And now they use that message to help other people find who they really are and be authentic and really loving and encouraging and motivational ways. And I find that to be immensely helpful, that you don't have to feel shame around those things that were once so hard to live through.
Yeah, exactly. Breathe into light. Well, we're about halfway through the show, Lisa. I want to take a quick break. And again, I do invite listeners, if you want to call in with any questions, call in at 619-789-4359. And again, those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to pose them there. And then when we come back from break, Lisa, I want to talk about psychoastrology. It's a term that you coined, and I'll find out all about that, okay?
You got it.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,400 shows we have had over the past 9 years. Also on the site is a link to the products and services we provide: books, photography, a wellness store, and self-publishing assistance. Our show is a free podcast on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can subscribe for free on any of those platforms by using the links on our website homepage. We are on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And we also have buttons to those platforms at the top of our homepage. Our website, biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us. Again, today, my special guest is Lisa Tahir, and we are talking about her work and her new book, The Chiron Effect, Healing Our Core Wounds Through Astrology, Empathy, and Self-Forgiveness. And again, you can find out more about what Lisa has to offer by visiting her website, which is www.nolatherapy.com. That's NOLA therapy.com. Okay, with that, we're back, Lisa.
Hi, Robert.
Great. Well, before we move into talking about psychoastrology, we do have a caller. So let me go ahead and see what we have here, okay?
Excellent.
And her name is Jeanette, and she's calling from California. Hello, Jeanette.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Hey,
so,
Jeanette.
What's your question there for Lisa?
Hi, Lisa. I actually was wondering if you could share a little bit more about my personal Chiron in Aquarius.
Okay. Chiron in Aquarius. Your house placement, Jeanette?
It's in the fifth house.
Fifth, like five?
Yeah.
Okay. So the fifth house has creativity, legacy, romance, and play. So I'm thinking for you, it might be about giving yourself permission to kind of expand into those areas of your life if you've been restrictive in those areas of your life. Is that true at all for you?
It is, but it happens to make a nice harmonious aspect. That's why I get a little confused. Like, that's where I'm like, okay, well, which one is it? It's like trine Venus. And so does that mitigate that at all, or what does that do?
Well, let me speak to more than about Chiron in Aquarius, which has to do with a core wounding of vulnerability in your sense of connection and community, and where it might feel like you have a hard time fitting in. Is that accurate at all for you?
Definitely. Yes.
Okay. And that it's about really knowing how important you are and how loved, how that's really important for you. And you might feel sometime like you have a hard time plugging into your tribe or your community consistently. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. That is very accurate.
And so for you, the healing is, since Aquarius is also about like humanitarian causes, like a way for you to find community that has meaning and value, because that's also important to you, is maybe through like-minded causes, like friends, you know, associations, groups that are something that's important to you in the world.
Very true.
Does that fit?
Yeah, I find groups just for the sake of groups, it's tough for me. That's probably why I'm not consistent, because it just doesn't go to a deeper part of me.
And it needs to, because you have that deep, soulful part of you that needs to be connected with, for the connection to really be meaningful and feel like alive.
Very true.
And even to talk about, like, even you are being so authentic and vulnerable today, sharing this, thank you. I think this is something that will feel good to you, to just open up about it. And I wonder who in your circle might you talk to about the way you feel.
Yeah. Oh, I know exactly who I could speak to about this, because she's deep in that way as well, and I think that she'll understand my share.
Yeah, because you're not alone.
And connect with it herself.
Absolutely. That's what I'm thinking, Jeanette, that you're not the only one feeling this way. I think a lot of people, you know, go to social events and feel that same kind of disconnect, like, it's not really satisfying. So I think your gift is to bring that to your social interactions. To dig deeper. With people.
I see. To dig deeper with people, but it's really more about, if I heard you correctly, it's really more about touching me at a core level in terms of the actual purpose of the group, right?
Yeah.
It has to have a value and a meaning that's important to me. Like, in other words, let's say solving world hunger or whatever I choose, the bigger picture.
Yes, that's what your social interactions can center around, that'll shift what you felt in the past that wasn't so satisfying, that caused you to lose interest, even.
Yeah, that's great, because interestingly enough, one of the things that's very dear to my heart is the younger generation and star seeds, and how they have felt misunderstood, very much like I felt misunderstood. I was kind of like the lone wolf when I walked the path of 13 and picked up my first metaphysical book. And there was no one in my environment to speak to. So.
Wow. Yeah, so that isolation that you felt. And even some social anxiety possibly back then too.
Totally, definitely.
So you can really
I felt like I had to morph myself, and in the process, I kind of lost myself. I was like, you know, at some point I'm like, I don't know who I am, because I was not being really true to me.
Right, your Chiron core wound, we have the impulse to hide it, to like tuck it away and assimilate, instead of shine, you know, now you can do that with like-minded individuals and with working with young people.
Right.
And be a model for them.
Wow. Even though I had ideas like that floating around in my mind, now you just kind of really helped me to bring it all together. That was wonderful. Thank you.
Awesome, Jeanette. Can I share one last piece that might, might be helpful if you're not already doing it?
Please.
So, you know, inevitably we're going to find ourselves in those conversations where it's not feeling super meaningful. You know, you start to like float elsewhere. And so one of the techniques that I've learned is to get really clear in your own boundaries, you know, how to politely walk away from those conversations And, you know, in a way, so you're not standing there for a long time, you know, just not wanting to be there, because I think that's being inauthentic to yourself. So even learning to say, thank you, it was so nice to talk to you. I'm going to, you know, pardon me, I'm going to excuse myself, and really becoming okay with stepping away. You know, when you feel like the juice has kind of gone out of the conversation.
Totally, totally. And I do have that tendency to, for lack of words, to be able to leave gracefully, stand there well beyond the time that it feels just so dishonoring to myself.
Yes, that's in your the Chiron placement of Aquarius also. And I've been working on that too, Jeanette, how to just, you know, be like, thank you, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go, or whatever you need to say, and just getting more comfortable with that.
Yes, I like the way you worded it. Yes, I definitely will keep that in mind, because it's another piece, like you say, that was important that I hear. Thank you so very much.
You're so welcome.
I just, what is the name of your book again? I just love what you have to share.
Thank you, Jenna. It's called The Chiron Effect, C-H-I-R-O-N.
Okay.
And my website's NOLA, N-O-L-A, therapy.com. You can also Google it, or me, Lisa Tahir.
Okay. All right, wonderful. I tuned in kind of late, so I will definitely listen to the first half of this and then check your things out. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank You're welcome.
Thank you,
Jenna. Take care.
All right. You too. Well, good. Well, you know, that I really appreciate Jeanette calling in, because that kind of, that whole exchange was, it kind of really brings home, you know, exactly the effect of Chiron and how it impacts our lives, and then how we can go about and heal that particular wounding. Very good. So now, psychoastrology, that's a term that you coined. So can you tell us about what it is and why you felt it was important to register that as a particular mark, trademark, or register mark?
Yeah. Robert, we just actually saw psychoastrology in action with Jeanette's call. It's where our personal astrology meets our personal psychology. And in her experience of, you know, wanting to have more authentic and deeply meaningful social interactions, and, you know, feeling a disconnect there in the past, and being able to connect with learning, I need to have those interactions with a shared topic of meaning and value. And then that's how I feel like really lit up on the inside and really engaged and available and present, you know. So for her, finding her authenticity and expressing it. So that's what psychoastrology is, just where our personal psychology and astrology meet in our real lives, day to day, and how we live it. And I want to help people do that in more authentic and satisfying ways.
I was going to say, when I was taking my classes in college for my psych degree, I would have been the first one in line to sign up for a psychoastrology class.
That's awesome.
It just didn't exist, you know, that kind of thing back then. I think it's a wonderful way. It's kind of, you're bringing current, you know, some of the old the ideas of archetypes and how they kind of impact us, and then, you know, bringing the astrology aspect into, you know, and then the patterns into our lives to show the application. And, you know, when you think about the kind of setting ourselves up, you know, when we come into this incarnation, sometimes some people believe that we kind of plan things out and we set things up, you know, to experience, to be able to grow our spirit or soul, or, you know, that kind of thing. What is your feeling about the idea of maybe we set up the wounding, you know, that we basically come in, or is it simply a matter of, you know, a result of our experience once we're here?
That's such a good question, Robert. And I personally believe it to be a combination of both, of nature and nurture, that I know I've been very shaped by my early childhood experiences, much like is talked about in early psychodynamic literature, and I have so much respect for the people that have come before me, the object relationists, the different paradigms that I source from and talk about in the beginning of the book, even Freud talking about the repetition compulsion and these repeated patterns that we seem to reenact without consciousness of them. And so I really based my work off of the brilliant people before me who have studied this and brought it to life, Carl Jung and others, and just wanted to offer a new paradigm where I believe it's personal responsibility and sound psychology that we change our patterns. So whether we were born into them, whether we encountered them through the way we were raised, it's up to us to deal with them, to cope with them, to change them. If we want, we have that ability and power. So I'm a big proponent of taking personal responsibility for our lives. And that's what a lot of my book talks about. That's why I give practical takeaway steps. So you're not just subject to what's happened to you. You can choose to take new steps in your behaviors and your thoughts and in your beliefs. And then that starts to shape your life in the way that you want it to be, like you're molding the clay of your own existence.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I do. I agree. And you know, it's every, you know, little push into the clay or every, you know, clip of the of clay really impacts what the final picture is going to look like.
Yes.
And I don't think we're ever done, you know, sculpting
right.
our life.
We're always sculpting.
Yeah,
our lives.
Yeah. So now, for people who are listening who don't recognize that, okay, you know, they went through the questions that we asked, you know, you asked earlier in the show about, you know, how to recognize whether one has wounding. Once there's that recognition of wounding, some people, you know, have an aversion. Obviously, I mean, it's, you know, it's repressed. It's, you know, it's kind of in the shadow. Or so how does one kind of get over the hump of thinking, you know, this is the bad stuff, or this is the stuff
yeah.
I don't want to look at. Yeah, to the point of that, you know, is it worthwhile to shine light on that?
Sure, and I'm here in the spirit of your question, and to answer it, that our core wounding is on a spectrum. You know, core wounding being on one end of the spectrum, and at the other is vulnerability, even blind spots, areas that we're not aware of. And so depending on where you fall in that spectrum, some people listening have a lot of self-awareness, to listen to a show like Bringing Inspiration to Earth, you know, you're obviously interested in transformation and deeper psychological topics and processes. So I bet most of you listening bring knowledge about yourself and about life to the table. And so depending on where you fall in the spectrum, it's a way to really fully, deeply know yourself more, to know what your core wound is, your blind spot, the area that you often, like for me, my core wounding is in Aries, core wounding and my value and worth. So contrary to, it might seem like that doesn't make sense, but in my life, regardless of the professional achievements I've had, I never quite felt good enough or worthy. And I realized I had to work on, it wasn't through deriving outside success that made me feel worthy or valuable. It's valuing myself just as a human being alive. If I never accomplish another thing, I am good enough, and really deeply learning to love myself for all I am, all I'm not, just right now. Like, it's enough. I'm enough. And people with displacement often feel like love is a lot of work. They have to work to be loved instead of just you're lovable. And what a relief to learn that you can just ease up on all the action and effort and be more in the receptive mode of awareness of, like, who does love you? Like, be open to receive instead of giving all the time. And it's a really different perspective to live from, and it's changed my life, Robert, to just be more easy and allowing of others and not having to do so much. So for somebody with the Chiron in Aries, you know, it's doing less rather more, for example, and deeply valuing oneself, working on your self-esteem and inwardly derived ways of pleasure versus external derived ways of validation.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Well,
it
you
make
know,
sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. You know, and when you hear some stories of people who are, quote, successful, you know, or who are successful in many of the, you know, ways that people seem to rate success. But there is that, you know, often an emptiness.
Yes.
That the success that they're experiencing. Yeah, there is. Yeah. And yeah, that's it's important to recognize that no matter what our station is, you know, those kinds of disconnects will happen. And there are others experiencing it, maybe a different situation, but the same experience.
Absolutely, Robert. And how to cope with that? You know, what do we do? How do we cope with those feelings as they arise within us? I offer meditation as a tool. There's a guided meditation in the book that's an easy one for people to do. You know, so just what do we do when these feelings and situations arise? And breaking the patterns of what maybe we used to do and being reactive and instead being responsive and choosing to act from a place of awareness and, you know, not being triggered. And so reactive,
yeah.
I find that to be really helpful.
Yeah, very much. And I do like that responsive versus reactive. I mean, it just denotes that there is an evaluation period, maybe nanoseconds,
but
well, goodness. So, what do you hope that the readers are going to take away from reading the Chiron Effect?
Robert, I hope that readers are going to find new ways to be happier with themselves and with life, and to be more compassionate towards themselves. Because when we are compassionate with us, we're able to extend that to our loved ones, to our partner, to our children, to the grocery store clerk, to telemarketers that call, which is an area that I've grown in, to, you know, when we're frustrated because our internet's not working, and then we start to take it out on the person on the phone who's actually trying to help us. You know, it's like nobody feels good about doing that, being that kind of person, so that we start to live our lives with just more ease and in more flow, where things are just easier for us to navigate, and with more kind of like lubricant of love and acceptance, and just our whole life becomes to come to us easier than what it ever did before. And then we're able to really be our true selves and be in the world in a powerful way, to gift the world and others with how we really want to show up for ourselves and for others.
Yeah. Yeah, very much. You know, and it's funny when you talked about that kind of the service earlier, well, only a couple of days ago, I had one of those cases where I was trying to set up a particular service, and I had three very frustrating, unsuccessful phone calls to the service provider. And it was, I was very much in a reactive mode. And then I just recognize it, kind of like the three things, if it doesn't happen three times, you know, kind of stop and, you know, take a break, which I did. And what ended up happening is I ended up, you know, changing my mind about the service I wanted. And then when I actually did have a successful call, I had one of the best customer service reps that I had ever spoken with, you know. And so, you know, that kind of
worked out.
Yeah, it did. But when I was in that reactive mode, it was just one of those things where it's, you know, three chances, like, well, why can't you get things right? You know, what is wrong with you? Do I really want to do this? You know, all those kinds of things. But again,
yeah.
it was resolved by the end of the day. So, I mean, that was a pretty quick turnaround from reactive to responsive.
Hearing your story, Robert, that sometimes things happen that are frustrating for us to maybe get us to look in a different direction where there is the solution. And like you were able to kind of step back and then have a successful resolution after three frustrating ones, you know, by being willing to see it differently. So I think that was great.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to do that, but you know, we're humans. You know, we're a work in progress. So now you have a podcast, a weekly podcast called All Things Therapy on LA Talk Radio. You've had it since 2016. So can you tell us a little bit about the podcast and the kinds of guests and topics that you discuss?
Yes, Robert, my show is so much like yours, which I feel really comfortable with you. It's every Thursday. It streams like your show on iTunes, Google Play. I have a YouTube channel, NOLA Therapy, and through LA Talk Radio. And I interview guests each week. I've been doing solo episodes as well to talk about different techniques that I use in my life. And that's been new and different for me to just do a solo show and invite callers to call in. And I've had guests like John Gray that wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, a lot of authors, a lot of people in the fitness industry, business industry, because I see all things therapy being about like every aspect of our lives and how we can live healthier and happier. So those are the kind of guests I love having on.
That's great. Yeah, very similar kinds of approaches.
Very similar to the show.
No, definitely. Yeah, exactly. So I'll be listening in for sure.
Thank you.
Now, sure. Now, with your on your website, you know, you have in addition to the link to the podcast, services. What kind of services do you offer?
Sure, I do individual and couple therapy sessions through phone, Skype, FaceTime, or Zoom. And I offer a psychoastrology package. It's a 30-day intensive where you have text and phone access to me to ask questions, like if something happens in the moment and you want to know. And it's through the lens of Chiron that we work through my book. Like I become really familiar with your Chiron, and you can reach out and I'll get back to you within 24 hours to, help you work through whatever is going on that month. So it's like a really up close and personal deep dive versus, you know, a weekly 45 minute session, which is the more traditional format of therapy that I've done for 20 years. So I offer those sessions and I'm happy to meet with any of your listeners. And if they mention your show, I will give them half off their first session or their first month in the psychoastrology package, if they just mention Robert, you and or bringing inspiration to earth.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that offer for folks. That's great.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's important for people to recognize too where their where Chiron is in their chart. Now you are on Facebook,
I sent an
invitation to connect as friends. So hopefully we can follow each other there.
Definitely.
And I want to thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. And I've learned a lot more about Chiron than I ever knew. That it's an important player in the scheme of things. And we can learn a lot from them. So thank you for sharing your information with us.
You're welcome, Robert. Thank you for taking your time to have me on your show and all the thoughtful questions you asked. I appreciate you and your audience.
Thank you very much. And I also want to give a shout out to Jeanette, too, to thank her for calling
in. Yes, Jeanette, thank you.
Yes, again, everyone, today my special guest has been Lisa Tahir, and we've been talking about her work as well as the new book that she has called The Chiron Effect, Healing Our Core Wounds Through Astrology, Empathy, and Self-Forgiveness. Again, you can find out more about the book and the services that Lisa has to offer by visiting her website, which is www.nolatherapy.com, and that's NOLA therapy.com. And everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again,
thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Remember, our show is available as a free podcast from Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. To follow our show, visit our homepage at byteradio.me and select the platform you use most. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at byteradio.me. Until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world into the lives of those you touch.